Hello and welcome back to the Bring Mitt podcast.
Bonjour.
Hello.
Those are the regular two, but we've got a wider source of the Bring Mitt fandom here today. I don't know if you wanted to introduce yourselves. So, in alphabetical order, I just decided that last minute, we've got Abby Borkham, who's got her own podcast. We got Miss Holly Escott.
Hello.
We've got Orph O'Leary.
Hello.
Imi Copsey, and then we got someone listening in the background who don't want to be named.
Hi, I'm Imi.
That was kind of evil.
Why is your recording bot called Craig?
Our recording bot is called Craig because we did not design the name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Craig, shout out.
Craig has been on the podcast, though. The other one. Yeah.
Yes.
So, this, from talking to a few of you, we decided that sort of BBC dramas was the theme of TV and film that we kind of all relate to. And I thought one way of looking at it was, because we did like a little streaming platform comparison recently where we looked at like Netflix and like Now TV and all that, we compared it. And I think the BBC license costs about £15 a month. And I know you can technically go on BBC iPlayer and just not pay. But like, we just thought, how would if you had like a family and they were about to cancel BBC iPlayer and they were like, right, what's this like one BBC drama to try and change their mind? Like, where would you start with that?
My
normal
God.
People.
No, that's not family. That's not family viewing. That's not appropriate for family.
But
viewing.
What? So it has to be a family.
Well, that's what
I go for a comedy. You'd watch a comedy with your family.
Gavin and Stacey.
No,
you don't have to watch it with them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like he's just asking what your favourite is, but he did it in a very strange way.
In a fun way.
Normal people. I revert back to my original answer.
I don't know.
I'm going to just go a bit random. I'm going to say everything I know about love, because I love the book. I love the show.
Love?
Everything
oh, is that a show?
Love.
I haven't heard of that.
Was a Dolly Alderson book, and then it was turned from page to screen.
Oh,
good. Ooh. 10 episodes worth a watch.
Okay, I won't take away from your original plan then. Do you want to talk about your little metaverse thing that you've been researching?
Let's talk about normal people first, and then we'll get on to the metaverse.
Okay.
There we go.
Hell yeah.
So, which of you have seen Normal People? Some of you have.
Me.
And me.
I haven't.
Oh, Rory.
I know. It's one on the list.
You didn't do your homework for the podcast.
I did Fleabag. I watched so much Fleabag for this.
Almost all of it.
You watched 7 episodes.
Yeah. 8. 8, actually.
Oh, sorry.
It's obviously Normal People, Sally Rooney adaptation. It's painful to watch, but in the best way possible.
That's my
short description.
It left me feeling something that I'd never felt before.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Wow.
It had a
Explain.
Actually, it's a funny story. So I was watching the last episode of Normal People at my boyfriend's house in Brighton, and his parents were out at a friend's house having a meal, and they came home to me just hyperventilating, crying on the sofa, and they thought we'd broken up, but... No, we've actually just finished watching Normal People, and I cried for about 3 hours. I just, the tears were flowing. I couldn't. Everyone tried everything, and I just couldn't stop crying. That's the kind
it
of.
It was very emotional.
Yeah,
it was
great though. I haven't watched it since.
I think Tom had a similar reaction. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. I had a similar reaction. I it was more episode 10 that got me.
Yeah.
Rather than the end of it.
One where he's in the talking to the counselor.
Yeah, that got me.
Yeah, I agree. It's a beautifully done scene, but yeah, very dramatic.
Very well acted.
Yeah. I want to watch it.
Can we talk about the sex scenes then? They were also very well done. Carry on.
No. You go.
I was going to say, I think, well, there's a few on BBC that I think actually do representation of sex scenes quite well. Like, it was just like quite, let's just say it wasn't pornified. it was very much like sort of real, intimate, close.
Yeah, it was natural.
Yeah, natural.
Wait, so what other BBC do you think has covered that well, other than normal
BBC? Did anyone watch the Michaela Cole?
No. Oh, yeah. May I Destroy You?
Yeah. That was really good. Also, their depiction of, like, periods, sexuality was really good. So if you haven't watched it, boys.
It's on the list.
I'll add it to my list.
I've been looking for a realistic depiction of that, so I'll put that right at the top of the list.
Was Michaela Cole, like, sort of one of the first sort of... she's a black director, but it had... I think it was quite highly...
It was based on her own experiences, right?
I feel like I don't know whether they came out at the same time, but I watched them around the same time.
Lockdown one.
Agreed.
Do we also think that the lockdown, like, if we watch Normal People now, for example, did it have a stronger effect? Because when it came out, we were kind of all like,
no, I think it definitely had a bigger. I think it had a bigger impact. Everyone was at home and lonely and sad,
struggling with communication like they do in Normal People. Like, we were kind of like stopped from the world, and I feel like they are weirdly unable to communicate but also have a lot of like
it for me eye contact. For me, it brought back lots of like feelings of being at school and like fancying someone and like that intimacy. Do you know what I mean? Like, when I don't know how to explain it, but for me it brought back like being at school and like being around someone that I fancied and like how they made me feel a bit special or something. I know that sounds
really... I didn't get that feeling at school.
I just got the feeling of like outcast.
And then like how they like rekindled later at uni and then they went their separate ways again and things. It was just it's just beautifully done.
But also like frustratingly annoying, because it was one of those things where it's like if they just told each other how they felt, they could have been together like 5 years earlier. But then also, I don't know, isn't that kind of the beauty of everyday life? Because isn't that a thing we all struggle with? Like, communication. Even if you're like quite open with your feelings about anything, do we all say 100% what we feel and think at all times? Do we change what we feel about how we think others do?
I think it depends who with.
Did they not tell each other they liked each other because they weren't sure about the response, were they?
I had another relationship in that programme into the mix that I really liked. Connell and his flatmate.
I can't remember the flatmate.
The
Niall, legend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was just such a stunning friendship.
Yeah.
Like, I can't remember this.
It was just really understated, but just really caring.
And again, natural. And
I just loved it.
Yeah.
Because I think you don't really get, like, a nice representation of boys' friendships that's, like, pure and not, like, oh, football. Oh.
They weren't really masculine boys.
Yeah, but Connell, he was just so gentle.
He's my perfect man.
And also, Connell or Paul Mescal.
Paul Mescal.
Actually, all of the above.
Yeah.
I think what's so good about it is it's so well cast, and it's a really good, accurate representation of the book, because I can't think of many programmes or films that I think
translate
that
exactly
well, but I think Normal People does that really well.
Agreed.
I think Daisy Edgar-Jones is perfect as well.
Wasn't Sally really involved with the filming, which must have helped? Yeah, didn't she help with the directing or something?
But also of Conversations with Friends, which I didn't like quite so much.
No, me neither.
Yeah.
No, see, I didn't get that. When I watched Normal People before I read Normal People, controversial, but then I read it really quickly. Yeah, because I was like reading it and I was like, this is an exact translation of what I've just watched. Whereas Conversations with Friends, I read it in one day.
First.
Really loved the book. Really didn't relate to the series.
I didn't not like the series, but I didn't get that love that I had for Normal People. And I think that natural comparison, you were expecting it to be as highbrow almost as Normal People, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I don't think but I liked the characters. I think that was the issue. I didn't relate or didn't like any of the characters in Conversations with Friends.
I don't think the chemistry on screen was as good either.
No.
But again, it was that awkward. Yeah, that is that. That it was that awkward. They didn't know how to communicate again, so it was almost a bit like it was awkward to watch. And obviously with the wife, they were so shy, and the other two were so like outgoing. It was quite a big contrast, and I felt like they were almost like the children in the room. I don't know. It was was weird, but yeah, Joe, we do love you still.
I was going to say, based on what you were saying earlier, Orf, about it sort of bringing up feelings from school and stuff, it's basically one of the only things I've ever seen that sort of captures the whole vibe of, like, you sort of, when you go to school, you see each other every day and then you just go off into your own separate lives. You go to college, you go to university, and then you stop seeing that person just, like, completely. And it's quite sudden, it's quite violent almost. And you don't really get that portrayal in any other series.
Someone.
It's me. Oi. It's me.
No, that's not true, because I saw you every day, Rory. We made sure.
Yeah, true. Yeah, very true.
I'm talking conceptually, of course.
Oh.
Sorry, I feel like I've silenced the room here.
What did you say?
Pardon?
We said pardon.
Oh, God. You said pardon. Wait, shall I say the whole thing again?
He said he felt like he silenced the room.
Oh, right.
And then there was a bit of silence, and then there was, what?
I think I prefer the silence to this, to be fair. This is definitely more awkward.
Right, continuing.
Okay, yeah.
I think we're done on Sally Rooney, are we?
Can never be. Are we? I thought it was a whole metaverse.
I want Tom's opinion.
Tom, yeah, Tom hasn't spoken his piece yet. Been waiting.
Okay.
We're here for this.
I can do this. So yeah, I won't lie. I've watched that show like 5 times now. And I've read the book.
Tom's just gone up in my world.
My world.
I don't know if it's because I watched the show first, but I think I preferred the show. I found the ending of the book very, very. It sort of just happened very quickly and didn't really take its time. It was like 3 pages. It felt like the ending. And then it just sort of cuts, whereas I think the show does it a bit better, takes its time, and it's a bit more emotionally impactful. But I feel the thing I like the most about the show, I think it's one of the best depictions of just raw chemistry between two actors that I've seen. And I think it's one of the most believable relationships that I've seen in any form of media. And it really resonated with me. I really liked it.
Yeah. I think it has just had a really lasting impact on everyone that I know that has watched it, apart from Henry, perhaps.
Yeah.
It's just lovely.
Sorry.
All at once.
It makes me want to watch it all over again. I might read the book again.
Yeah, I'll watch it and read it.
It gives me that like heavy feeling in my heart. And it like drops into my stomach. It brings me sadness. It's really sad, but I remember like after watching it at the end just being like, but why aren't they together? Why can't they just be together now? But
isn't that life?
It kind of made sense.
It, isn't it? It's the point of the show. But
Henry, why didn't you like it?
No, I did like it.
Why didn't you love it like we love it?
I don't know. It was like I really got the point of it, and there were certain checkpoints where I was like, okay, that was amazing, that was really, really good. I'm a big fan of Paul Mescal. He's probably one of my favourite actors sort of moving forward now. I think it was just that when I've watched like a TV series, I think I'm just generally more on the side of something that sort of exhilarates me the whole way through. And it was more sort of, it was very like grounded and sort of slow and like, just it's just not my sort, it wasn't my sort of thing, but I could still appreciate it for what it was.
With friends, that was too slow for me.
Yeah, me too.
It was like slower than normal people, but not in a good way.
It makes you want to scream at the screen.
Yeah.
Like normal people, I constantly wanted to scream at the screen. Like
pull yourself. Yeah.
I think with normal people, I wanted to binge it, but conversations with friends, I wasn't really too bothered about watching the next episode.
I think I watched it because Joe Alden was in it, if I'm honest.
He is one sexy man, so.
Have you all seen After Sun? Not to take away from the normal people talk. None of you have.
I have seen it. It was great.
Did it leave the same impact that Paul Mescal in Normal People did? Because it sort of stuck with me after watching that. It was heartbreaking, I thought.
Yeah, I remember just watching the credits roll and just, it's one of those films there for a bit.
Yeah.
Just kind of watching it and the song, that was great at the end. And I think I felt more sad about Normal People, but I think that's because I can relate to it more.
Yeah, it's a different relationship, isn't it? Not one that anyone's experienced.
Yeah, whereas I don't have a child yet, but I can imagine, I mean, or I'm neither am I a young parent or anything, but again, the chemistry with Paul and Frankie in that film was absolutely insane.
Amazing.
I think he's
true to life.
Is it Paul?
Yeah.
No, it is. That's what I was going to say, because like I've seen interviews with him.
He's very good.
And the girl who plays the one in that film,
Frankie.
Yeah.
Frankie Corio.
I saw this video where he bought her for her birthday this video, like a cameo of her favourite singer.
Oh, and Olivia Rodrigo.
It was just the sweetest moment, because he's just like really humble about it. And even like interviews I've seen him do on red carpets, like he's just so humble.
He's a nice guy.
And I think he plays these characters well because he just is that person.
He's normal.
He's just an
everyday man. Well, what we hope an everyday man will be. They don't all quite
sorry.
Yeah, after Sunday, very, very sad.
Mm.
Very sad.
It's exactly what I said as well, by the way, Amy, about like you just sort of stayed in the theatre for a bit. It's like I wasn't waiting for an after credit scene at all. I don't the lights didn't go out.
A weird
as well.
Film for one.
I just felt like really moved. I was a bit stunned at what I'd just seen.
Exactly the same. Yeah, exactly.
It was very emotional.
No, it was great. It was good.
Mm. It's one of the only films Henry's seen twice at the cinema. So.
And bodies.
I streamed it, which is a bit.
Don't put that out.
Oh no!
Wow.
Emmy, you can get a £1 Mubi subscription and get it on there, and it supports the film.
Maybe that's what she meant. And she said legally streamed it.
All right.
We missed that.
They didn't show it at my local cinema.
Well, they didn't show it at our local cinema either. But Henry still found his way there.
Yeah.
And Tom, if
you just got to be a bit more committed, I think.
Yeah.
That's why I didn't go. I didn't want to make the trek to view. I don't know where the view is.
Wait, we watched it at Odeon.
Yeah, we watched it twice at Odeon. It was about for a little while. There was a few shows. I should have probably told everyone. I didn't realize how big a Paul Mescal fan you were.
Yeah. It would have been a bit weird for you to just go, "Hey guys, just so you know, After Sun's on today."
You can watch it for free. What I nearly did was get you know, Apple TV, you can get a 1 month free subscription. It's on there. Okay. So you could do that.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Stop. Yeah. What?
In conclusion, Paul Mescal could probably hit me with his car and I would still love him.
How long have you been waiting to say that?
That's a good conclusion to make.
Just a gorgeous, gorgeous man.
Is he a short king?
I don't know.
No.
I think he's average height king.
I'm going to look this up.
I think he's just a perfect man.
Phoebe Bridgers didn't think so.
Phoebe Anderson lead us into the
He's 5'11", pretty average.
Same as Matt. Hi Matt, shout out.
That's a second shout out for Matt.
Oh yeah. Oh, blushing.
I think...
Now we've got Phoebe Bridgers, should we move on to the...
Yeah, I was thinking that.
What a...
Bridge and talk about Fleabag, even though I haven't watched it, so I'm very happy to listen and to hear all your reviews.
Fleabag, what a great show.
How have you not seen it?
It only gave me one day to watch it, and I had life plans.
It only takes about 5 hours to watch the whole thing.
Yeah,
it's very, very swift.
No, it's
yeah. Anyway, we'll try not to ruin anything for Rory in the second series, because I'm assuming.
I've seen the ending scene because it was plastered all over Twitter for a while. The bit where he's like,
"Do what you like."
It'll pass. Yeah. Oh, that was awful.
Yeah, yeah. From Rotherham.
Yeah, it's not really the answer that you want when someone says, "I love you," and for someone to say, "It'll pass." Is that what it is?
It'll pass.
To be fair, he's a priest. He can't love.
He can only love God.
Exactly.
He's in a
well, he can love, he just can't do anything about it.
He does say, "I love you too," after, doesn't he?
He does.
Oh, he does.
And I think that was his decision, the actor's decision, to include that, I heard.
Oh, that's good trivia.
What a legend.
That is good trivia.
I do love Andrew Scott.
Love Andrew.
Another
Scott.
Lovely man.
Jamie Dimitri.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Who's that?
He's the one.
He's the guy.
The teethy man.
He's on the bus. I've met him.
He's bus. Oh wow.
At Lewis train station.
Were they benches of some sort?
They are.
Yes.
So. Okay.
Got a lovely smile, haven't they?
I was going to say, that would be a hell of a casting call, wouldn't it?
Fleabag cast called Hot Misogynist. Rafe.
He's the lawyer guy.
Yeah.
Is he a hot misogynist? Is he a misogynist?
Well, I think he's supposed to be hot. I don't know.
I did it.
The hot priest is definitely a hot priest. Yeah, that's for sure.
We were discussing this, by the way, between, mainly me and Tom, out of which of the two seasons did you think was better? Because I think the consensus is the second one, just for Andrew Scott.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that that very first episode in series two, where they're around...
Unbelievable.
...is so good. So good. Yeah. My favourite bit in that is when... Fleabag or Phoebe Waller-Bridge says the bit where she says, "Oh, no one's spoken to me for 45 minutes. Or, no one's asked me for 45 minutes." And then the priest turns around and says, "What's he say?" He says,
"So what do you do?"
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just the whole bit with the miscarriage with the sister.
Yeah.
It's like really sad, but then also the parts of it that are quite funny as well.
They make it
and like funny. The way that she just, I don't know, I just think. Just something about that scene. But...
Get your hands off my miscarriage.
No, she's not Irish.
I didn't say it in an Irish accent.
Yes,
it sounded more Irish than what you said earlier.
I don't think whatever. Let's move on.
I was saying, I don't think it's the priest that made me prefer the second season. I just think the second season has much better writing and comedy.
Yeah, I
found it a lot funnier.
Yeah, it's a lot funnier. And I think the characters or the actors, I don't know, it feels like they really know their characters by that point.
It's more focused on them, like the sister, her husband, and everyone around that table who were the interesting characters in the first season get more screen time so far from what I've watched in the second season, which made it more interesting for me.
Yeah, I love Claire. I think she's such a good character. And the actress, I don't know her name. What's it, Sean?
The sister.
Yeah, the sister.
Sean Clifford.
Yeah, Sean.
Yeah, I just feel like at the start, like it seems like she has everything together. And then, actually...
She gets a bad haircut.
She's French.
Spoilers for Rory.
Yeah, that is a big plot element, the bad haircut.
I think it's Olivia Colman. I think she carries in a way. Not carries, because there's people in that high echelon level that she's on. But I think Olivia Colman's my favourite part of that.
She's awful. She is awful. You hate her.
Yeah.
You want to hit her. Or I want to hit her. Never mind. But yeah, she is just her. Insane.
Neva's passive aggressiveness being done so well on a television screen.
You play roles like that either. She normally plays likable characters. Things that I've seen her in.
Does she?
Yeah, from my...
She's normally always a bit annoying.
She's awful in Peep Show.
Later on, she's...
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. I think maybe the things I've seen recently. Empire of Light.
She's even a little bit annoying in Broadchurch. I know that's not BBC, but...
Neither's the Crown either, which is in The Lost Daughter.
Yeah, she normally plays like motherly roles.
She's not very nice in The Lost Daughter.
No, she's quite selfish, isn't she?
Is that
so? It's an Elena Ferrante book that was made into a film.
In the metaverse as well.
It's in the metaverse because actually Jake
Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
Yeah. That was her debut, like the first thing that she directed. Oh. It's on Netflix. It's really good. You should watch it.
I will watch it.
It's good.
Johnson in it.
Dakota Johnson.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Got someone else in it whose name I'm forgetting, but she's in it.
Hasn't hasn't it got Paul Mescal in it?
It does indeed.
Does it? Yeah. He's on the beach.
Yes. I do love a bit of Dakota.
Yeah.
Jesse Buckley.
Oh, yeah, Jesse Buckley. That's, yeah.
Jesse Buckley, that's it.
Jesse Buckley. Is it a girl?
No, Jesse Buckley's a girl.
Oh, sorry.
Have you seen the Fleabag stage show? Has anyone?
No, 2013 one.
Well, I've seen snippets. I didn't go and see the show. I've seen snippets, and it's quite interesting because it is just basically the inner monologue, not inner monologue, the fourth wall break, and her own dialogue. And she kind of makes it. She just sits in a chair with like black screen behind her and makes it work. It's just quite good. I mean, I think the show is way better, but considering she made that work, it's probably worth having a look at if you're obsessed with the show.
So what came
first? One-woman shows always.
Yeah, I love a one-woman show.
No, she 2013 did the one-woman show. And from that,
yeah,
in the series,
and then what she added the family in,
yeah.
I love one woman shows.
Prima facie.
Joe Dacoma. Good segue.
Oh god, me and Tom booked tickets for that at the Odeon and just forgot to go. Paid £25 for it.
Was that? Yeah, I remember that because that was awful.
You didn't go yet.
Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, I've watched it. It was beautifully done.
Amazing.
She's amazing. At the start, the first scene, I thought, oh my God, Jodie's speaking too fast. I can't understand her. How am I going to stay interested in this? It honestly depicts how rape is dealt shockingly in the justice system so well. And also her, like, how she acts and, like, shows us her feelings after it all happens. It's just...
It's crazy.
She's beautiful.
Do you not think it's crazy how she remembers all those lines as well?
She's an actor.
Yeah, but she's on stage for like an hour and a half and it's all her.
No breaks. Yeah.
No breaks.
That is quite impressive.
Does she not have like documents in front of her in the show?
It's not like a, you know, slowly thing. Like she must, she remembers.
Changes accents, goes into different characters.
She's good at that.
It takes you over like, I don't know. Like a whole year, isn't it? And she's remembering all those lines and all those. That's crazy. It's insane. I don't know how people do it.
Me and Henry were in love with her for a good 2 months while Killing Eve was on.
Yeah.
Only 2 months. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the last series ruined it.
It did, yeah.
Yeah, but didn't that have another writer? So Phoebe Waller-Bridge, did she do the first two?
She did the first two. Oh, was it just the first?
I think it was just the first. They changed every season, I thought.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah, it's quite sad. I don't know why they'd do that.
I think she was more involved in the first two, and then as it went on, she got less involved, and it got worse. So, yeah.
The writing is the first, in my opinion, the first season was the best.
Yeah. I remember loving one and two.
I think the writing was insane, and it did just kind of tail off, didn't it?
I just think it got a bit unbelievable.
Yeah.
Like they were throwing spears and it going through people's heads. I remember at one point on the farm in the third season. I think from there I didn't watch any more. I was like, what is this?
I've seen it all. But yeah, I agree. It did just slowly. Yeah.
It lost the momentum.
Worsen.
Yeah.
And do you know what the tension between Sandra Oh and Jodie Comer.
Two great actors on, like, you know, performing with chemistry. Good on stage chemistry.
Yeah. Shame she didn't have that with my husband.
I remember a couple of you guys said you wanted to talk about reality shows as well on the BBC.
Go for it.
That is indeed
Vicky,
correct,
would you like to talk about Traitors? What did you think of Traitors? I've heard great things.
So, Traitors was an interesting one because it's unlike anything I've seen before on TV. Do you not think? True. I mean, it's kind of similar to Trapped, which is what I used to watch when I was like, I don't know.
Your life show.
My way home from school. Well, sorry, when I got in from school. But again, I was hooked. It was a binge worthy.
Who did you want to win, though? Because I was fully on the side of the Traitors.
Wait, any of you going to watch this or not? Because
I might do.
What actually is it about?
We drop the spoilers.
Okay, no, wait. Summary. How would you summarise it?
Basically, it's... Think of, like, the round table
like a big round table, and you've got people all sat around the table, and then someone randomly gets allocated a traitor. Three of them get none other than
Claudia Winkleman, who I just add is made for this show. She actually is. No, but I feel like she carried the show. I feel like without Claudia Winkleman,
to be fair, there'd be nothing. I don't like Claudia Winkleman, and she made it very, very good.
Yeah.
But I still don't like her as a person.
That's Vicky's contribution.
Controversial.
It's great, but I hate her. I don't like
You'll be credited now, Vicky. It's fine.
Thanks so much.
Anyway, so...
Do you want me to go back to the plot?
Yeah.
So then three people allocated as traitors, and then throughout the coming weeks, they do different tasks.
I thought the task was the worst part of it. I don't think
the best bit was the end of the episode where you shout at people about whether or not they're a traitor.
The round table.
You basically just have to work out who are traitors, because the traitors are trying to get to the
end. Oh, it's like Among Us.
Yeah, it is.
It's like Trapped. No, actually, no. With the tasks, I thought that it would be a bit like Trapped or Among Us, where the traitors ruin the tasks, but they don't. That's why I think the tasks... failed.
Well, no, because that was stupid.
It was just, it was just to get money for the prize fund and then like team building.
But the traitor wants the prize money. So yeah, the traitor would be no point money. In them sabotaging.
But the traitors, there's three of them at the beginning. They choose one person to kind of kill off each night.
Yeah.
And then they come back at breakfast and then someone's missing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have to work out like the traitor's motives for killing that person, like evicting them from the show.
Yeah.
Can I just say how much I hate John?
Who's John?
The goer, Aaron.
The old guy.
Yeah, he was nasty man.
He was nasty so man.
I won't go into too much detail, but it did end badly for me.
Oh, really?
No, I thought it. I liked the ending.
I hated the ending.
Why didn't you like it?
I can't say because it'll ruin it.
Oh, come on.
I was on... until like the last episode, and then I was like, oh.
No, the last episode I was fuming, I was raging.
No, but I think it's the best reality TV I've watched.
Is that because you ever
them to win? Not even just by BBC standards, ever.
That answers my next question.
It is hard to talk about it, yeah, without ruining it.
I've been watching Rise and Fall, if that helps.
With Greg James, how is that? Because I love
Greg James. I've been really enjoying it as a family bonding experience, but I wouldn't necessarily say it's like the most amazing show. It's one of those things where like as soon as like alliances form, I don't even need to talk about how it works in order to talk about this bit. Like as soon as alliances form, like things start to get predictable. Like the sort of penultimate thing at the end of the episode becomes like quite easy to see coming. But I think they fixed that later on. Like the producers have got involved a little bit more and introduced different rules that made it a little bit better. But I would say, I don't know. Yeah, I would say give it a few episodes if you're a reality TV fan. Sorry.
People who are in the like dungeon.
Yeah. Did you watch it on Google?
I watched it on Google. It seemed brutal. Because they were like literally electrocuting them.
Yeah, I think.
And
that
was like, this is wild.
Yeah, was that allowed? Are you allowed to electrocute people and on TV?
Clearly, well, they're going for 18 episodes, so I imagine they've got 18. Away with it.
Sure, they've legally consented to it.
You see, that's the thing with the traitors. I think it's short 10 episodes, and I think that was a perfect amount. Yeah, was it 10?
I don't know, but about it was that. A good amount. You were left wanting more as opposed to bored by the end.
Yeah. I think BBC does well, actually. I think the number of episodes.
No, Call the Midwife drags on.
No! I'm talking about that. Like, for example. Fleabag, that's two series. How many are in each? Six? Eight?
Although we did say Killing Eve lasted one series too long.
Yeah,
but it was very popular. But no, overall, I would agree.
That is a good... I was thinking this before, is that the BBC is really good at not outstaying their welcome with a lot of stuff. They have a lot of limited series and a lot of stuff that stops quite early.
I don't know whether it's because with Killing Eve, that's based on a book, isn't it?
Yeah,
I've not read the book. I don't know whether they continued with that one because of the book, or I don't know whether the show went beyond the book or what.
I think the show went beyond the book. There's like three Killing Eve books and they're like online little novels. I think Phoebe Waller-Bridge changed a lot of it as well.
Okay.
It was just source material.
Money then.
I think because it was so popular. Because everyone loved Jodie. Yeah,
they thought we can get away with another series. Mm. I was reading, I don't know whether it's true or whether it's just like speculation. But I know a lot of Twitter kind of just hated the ending, and they were saying that Jodie Comer and Sandra Oh, they didn't like the ending either, and that they weren't really promoting it like they did the other series.
Interesting. That the last one where there was like Jodie Comer as Jesus, that was awful. I hated that. Was
so bad, really bad.
So cringy.
Yeah, can I say the ending?
Yeah, say it. Yeah. I haven't watched it, so watch. I'm not going to watch it.
Jodie Comer dies. Villanelle dies.
How did she die?
Oh no!
They can't post this now.
They can cut it.
Oh yeah.
No, we can.
No, we can post. We spoil things all the time.
So I could technically mute it, and it would still have our reactions.
If people didn't want to hear it, they knew the spoiler was coming.
Yeah, I did say. Can I say the ending?
Oh my God, Azzy, why would you kill her off?
I don't know. It's called Killing Eve, but no, it's Killing Villanelle. I thought like there was a reason. I did look into it, but
so they can't make any more series. They realise everyone wanted it to end, so they killed her off, and then it can't carry on.
But I think it's because they couldn't be together in real life. You know what I mean? Like they had a weird relationship. They couldn't be happy together, but they couldn't be happy alone. So I think one of them had to die. I guess. I don't know. It's a bit depressing. But
that is depressing. Wow.
Did they like bring the title up and change the EU to Villanelle, like in a dramatic way?
I don't think they did, but do you remember when they made Abby? I don't know whether you've really watched this series, but they did Look What You Made Me Do, Taylor Swift, one of the openings. It was the only
I've
one
seen
that had
it.
A different like, opening
I've
title
seen
sequence.
That bit, but I don't know if I've watched that episode.
Yeah, that's good. Sorry, Imi, why is Imi on the phone?
should we wrap up, guys? Should we call it there?
Yeah.
If he was on the phone, then that must mean our audience's attention span is dropping as well.
Thanks for letting us come on.
It's been great. It's been confusing, but there's a lot of people, and I think it worked quite well considering.
Yeah, it was good.
So
we had fun
from the Paul Mescal fan club.
Yeah.
Bye.